Cheerscast is a proud part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Christmas trees. Presents are all wrapped. Mm. All the kids are in bed. And Eddie's waiting up for me so that we could exchange our goodies in private.
You don't wait until Christmas morning to open your presents?
Oh, yeah, but we like to exchange our goodies in private.
You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Hello and welcome back to Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining me is returning guest and the host of her very own Cheers podcast to rival mine. Please welcome back Marlene Stemme. What's up?
Hey, how are you doing? Glad to be back. It's not a rival podcast. It's a, a companion podcast, let's call it that, maybe something of that sort. So, but I'm doing really well. I'm happy to be here discussing the episode with you.
I see everything as my rival. You know, those those murder mystery podcasts, they're rivals to this. They're, everything. So.
Everything's friendly, hopefully friendly competition. Yeah.
I should have said happy holidays, although it's not particularly the holiday season when we're recording this or when the episode is going to come out, but we are talking about Christmas Cheers, the holiday episode, probably the really most well-known holiday episode after Thanksgiving Orphans, but even more important than that, of this being a Christmas episode, as I was pointing out to you beforehand, we are now at the midpoint of Season 6. Which means, dear listeners, we are at the midpoint for Cheers as a series. If we're not counting any other tie-ins, like Frasier or whatever might be coming down the pipe, but like out of 11 seasons, we are now 5 full seasons and 1 half season into it, which brings us at right around the halfway point. Maybe not the exact halfway point in terms of episode numbers, but for my purposes, I see this project as halfway done, so that's exciting.
I hadn't even thought about it in those terms, but that's really remarkable. It is exactly that sort of halfway through the whole experience, you know. Because you think of the first era and the second era, or at least I do, but this really, in terms of the whole series, it's halfway through.
Right. Yeah, the dividing line between the Shelley and the Rebecca years are just much easier to think of. But here it is, like, you know, for the purposes of the podcast, at least, I'm counting this as halfway.
How do you feel halfway through? Or is it what you expected to be at this point?
I shouldn't have started this. This was a mistake. This was horrible.
Oh, no.
I'm joking. This is very much exactly what I envisioned the show to be, in a lot of cases even better, just because I've got to talk to new people that I didn't know when the show was starting, and you yourself, just one of you, but like lots of new guests, lots of new voices, lots of new insights. I knew how much I loved the show going into it, but to be able to visit it again on a weekly basis and have the exciting and entertaining conversations that I can have just talking about how much I love the show, that has kept it fresh and invigorating every time, and I see no way of stopping anytime soon, so that's good. It feels nice. I'm happy with where we are.
It peels back little layers of it too, doesn't it, sometimes? You're like, I didn't even think about it that way before. Yeah.
And then, and even still, like, something will catch me off guard. Like, somebody will point something out in the comments, or I'll have, like, this little connection to something, and I'm like, why didn't I notice that before? I've seen this episode 17 times. Right. Why didn't I notice that? Yeah. Anyway, getting into this episode, we're in Season 6, Episode 12, Christmas Cheers. This one is written by Sherry Aiken and Bill Steinkellner, directed by James Burrows and Thomas LaFaro. They both get directing credit. I think, though I'm not sure, this is the only episode with two different directors listed. I guess I will pay close attention to that going forward.
That sounds right. I don't remember entirely. Yeah. That sounds right. And I don't have any insight as to why that is. I'm curious.
I wonder if possibly the stuff outside of the bar, the scenes like with Sammy on the street, is directed by something. I don't know. We'll see. The original air date was Thursday, December 17th, 1987. All right, hold on for this synopsis, because I'm basically just recapping things that happen as it is. Sam is mad that Rebecca is making the staff work on Christmas Eve, but Woody and Carla don't mind because Woody is staying in Boston this year, and Carla, well, she just doesn't want to go home to her kids. Cliff is gathering canned goods for the post office food drive, hoping he will win and go to Disney World. Norm is working as a volunteer Santa Claus, and Frasier is generally dispirited at the absence of true Christmas joy this season. Sam, Carla, and Woody exchange gifts. Sam realizes he is the only one who didn't get a present for Rebecca and rushes out into the snowy Christmas night to shop for her. He wanders, desperate to find an open store, finding nothing but darkened shops and locked doors. Just when he's ready to give up, an angel appears, or rather a stewardess, carrying bags of extra Christmas presents. Sam and Tracy, the stewardess, return to Cheers, where Frasier and Lilith have stopped by to deliver their own presents, and Norm and the other department store Santas have settled down. Cliff is furious that he lost the food drive competition by one can until Woody gives him two more cans that had been left at the bar by mistake. Cliff runs out to get his reward. Rebecca gives the staff shirts and coffee mugs with the corporate logo, and Sam, intending to give her a pair of earmuffs, accidentally gives her $500 diamond earrings. Rather than admit his mistake, Sam commits to the gift when he thinks it'll help get her into bed. Woody and Tracy bond over their mother's stuffing recipes and their favorite wise men in the nativity. As the volunteer Santas get ready to leave Cheers, one of them seems far out of place as he departs. For the moment, Frasier thinks he's the real Santa and his spirits are uplifted. The group gathers to watch the end of It's a Wonderful Life when the local news breaks in with a story about a deranged postal carrier chasing an Orlando-bound flight on the tarmac of Boston Logan Airport, throwing cans of Chinese food at it. Okay. Whew, a lot's happening this.
Well, everybody has a part in it.
Yeah, big on plot. Well. So, I asked you at the beginning of the season, like, what kind of episodes would you like to cover, and you picked this one. So, what did you want to talk about with this one?
Well, so at the beginning, I picked a different episode that I think actually is more like hilariously funny, has sharper lines, and like more just surprise laughs and so forth. And then I thought about it, and I was like, Christmas Cheers really is the one that I want to talk about, because Cheers, unlike a lot of sitcoms of its day, didn't do, you know, like they did the yearly Christmas episode on other series, which is fine, but I thought it's a little bit special now that Cheers just has this one, you know, it stands out.
Yeah.
And I remember the feeling of watching it at that time when I was, you know, 12. And when I rewatched it, it still has that same feeling, you know, and it's warm, but it's not overly sentimental, which I think is how Cheers is. Mm-hmm. You know, it never dips into being that sort of syrupiness in it, but it's just generally warm and caring. There's some really funny parts. Again, I don't think any of them are hysterically funny, but I don't know in this episode that they need to be. And I think that your, you know, initial summary really gets a lot of it, because everybody has a part in it and it all works really naturally and flows really naturally. And, you know, everybody starts off a little bit out of sorts or grumpy or something, and they all kind of come around in the end. So, you know, it's, I'm kind of talking about a lot of the stuff that we could talk about through the episode, but it's just the way that they all kind of come together in the group at the end. And, all of that, the spirit of it. And there's a lot of snow, which I told you before that I really like on Cheers.
Oh, yeah.
That's part of it for sure. That's probably the big picture of it.
Yeah, the episode feels very comfortable and lived in, which is what you like from the cast.
Yeah, I think so too.
Without necessarily being as sharp and as funny as some of the other episodes, there is just kind of a warmth and a sense of camaraderie and a sense of home, which is what Cheers is. Like, that's the whole thing about like the place where everybody knows your name. Like, Woody isn't going back to the farm this year. He's stuck in here. But he feels at home. And he actually finds a surrogate home by the end of it with the woman in Tracy and everything. And they're talking about their mom's stuffing. Is it bone dry? Yeah.
You could gag on it.
I love that line. And, like, Frasier's just kind of like you don't even like really necessarily need to know why he's in a bad mood. It just seems like he could be the sort of who'd be a grumpy or a Grinch mm-hmm. this Christmas, and he even gets to feel a little bit better at home. And,
yes, and he seems like the type of person. I mean, again, like you're saying, and you don't know why, but you can just imagine Frasier maybe as a child, like, okay, prove to me that this is real or something. Like he's always probably looking for like what is this, and it became cynical about Christmas. That's just kind of the vibe I get from him. Is that he's been maybe a little bit, you know,
right.
He wants to see some sort of like little Christmas miracle and he hasn't. And so he's talking, what was it he said about the living in a nation when we celebrate the holy birth of a babe in a manger with Perry Como in Hawaii?
Yeah. So
he's just through the episode sitting there drinking his beer, making these like funny but caustic comments. And you can kind of see one thing I noticed this time watching is you can sort of see the other customers moving away from him in the early parts of the episode because he's just become such a cynic until the end of the episode.
Yeah, and even Lilith is just like, just shut up and deal with it.
Right, and she's Jewish, but she's trying to have that Christmas spirit and be a part of things, and it's kind of a little bit her home too, I think, by the end.
Yeah, this episode, they don't, like, yeah, you're, like, in later episodes, they will make a point of saying that she is specifically a Jewish character, and as Bebe Neuwirth is a Jewish actress. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if maybe it was just because she was so new, they hadn't established that yet, so maybe they just haven't said that. Like, yeah, she's a practicing Christian or just celebrates Christmas, and they haven't gone that. But yeah, in future episodes, they will specifically announce, or I don't know how, they just, it will be part of her character
right.
that she is Jewish. And with Norm with becoming like the I want to get into the episode, but like the other thing about like just Norm, like this can't be the first time he's ever been a department store
Santa. Oh, that's a good point. See, there you go. It's one thing I hadn't thought about before, that he maybe has done this every year, and this is just the first time that he's gotten caught.
Yes, that's much more what I was thinking. Yeah.
Okay, I could see that.
With our teaser, it starts off with they're watching It's a Wonderful Life, or it just happens to be on TV, and Carla complains about it. She's like, yeah, how many times are they going to show this golden moldy, I think she says. And Woody, of course, just answers the question literally the way he does. And he goes, six. From now until New Year's Eve, it's a wonderful month.
Right. It's like on channel, isn't it channel 13 that they always watch? I love that, too, that they have that one station they seem to watch.
Of course, yeah.
That's
again like another little like Christmas tradition that brings home. But Sam, Carla, Norm, they're each finding things about the movie to pick apart. They don't like it. It's so sappy and like that's not unrealistic, and they're kind of like just taking it apart. And then by the time it gets to the end and they're all singing Auld Lang Syne, everybody starts reaching for the Kleenex, like something in the air, like something in the eyes, you know. Kinda.
Yeah, right. They all have a different excuse for why they're crying at the end, too. It's like, oh, it's, yeah. And then I think that, you know, in that contrast to how they are as well, where they're just sort of happy watching it together and it's emotional and they're not trying to, you know, just be so sort of, I guess, skeptical about it.
Right. Yeah. So once the story opens up, Cliff brings in a box to collect these cans for the postal carriers who are having a food drive, and the winner who brings in the most cans gets to go to Disney World, and he is really excited for this. He put the thing, and Norm is like, well, who are the cans for? And Cliff's like, oh, the poor, the needy, I don't know. He's like, you know, he's just so self-interested in himself and his dessert, his reward of going to Disney World, that he doesn't care who he's actually collecting these things for. Like, they're an afterthought. Like, he doesn't even think. So, you know, a little bit of his own selfishness, which Frasier is quick to recognize in there. Yeah.
I think that is the first thing that Frasier says about, they make such a fuss about Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
So just thinking about his possible prize.
He even says something like, I'm trusting all of you good Samaritans to fill the box.
Oh, that's right. Like, yeah, he does say that. He uses that term, in fact.
Yeah. Yep. So then Rebecca comes in wearing this like funny little green skirt outfit, and she just had come back from the corporate party. She's in a bad mood, obviously, because she didn't hook up with Evan Drake or anything else interesting. And she holds out the new work schedule for the next week, and everyone is working on Christmas Eve, Sam is quick to, he's like, we don't work that, that's a holiday. She's like, no, it's not a holiday, that's Christmas is. And he's like, well, it's a holiday Eve.
Eve.
Yeah. And she's like, I'll pay you time and a half and everything like that. And he's like, no, you can't bribe us. And Carla's like, you can bribe me.
Oh, yeah, Carla's perfectly happy. Yeah. She's like, that's great. I can work.
Yeah, and he's great. And he has that line that I borrowed from the teaser of this podcast. He's like, don't you want to be home with your family? And she's like, would you?
And I think that's when he goes to Woody, isn't it? It's like, well, Woody has to go back to Indiana.
Yeah. And he's like, nah, not this year. I've got responsibilities to keep me here in Boston. And he says he's been cast in a children's theater production of The Story of Snow. And he clarifies, he plays the King of the Flakes, which...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like the look on Fraser and Cliff at that one. They're like,
He says it so non-ironically, and then they just kind of look at each other, you know.
And when you're doing a children's theater production, is just so perfect, too.
Mm-hmm. No.
But Sam is still put on. He's like, no, you can't have me working here Christmas Eve. And Rebecca's like, what do you have planned? An intimate dinner with one of your nieces? And he's like, oh, she makes it sound so cheap.
Yeah. She always has his number. I know we haven't had a chance to talk about her yet, and this may not be like the best episode to get into all of her behaviors, but she always knows what he's up to, and I just think that's such a fine part of her character.
Yeah, I've mentioned that with some of the other guests. That's kind of becoming the saving grace with the sexual harassment angle, and like keeps kind of like, he's so bald faced in his just like trying to seduce her and trying to get her, and it's just like it's cringy in a lot of modern like ways, but the fact that she's so much smarter than him and she just knows it and knows what he's up to kind of like allows you to just say, okay, he's not in her league at this point, at least in the story. So
she's totally a match for him, I think. But she's just like, she doesn't get mad. She doesn't fly off the handle. She doesn't complain. She just gets the better of him every time.
Yeah, she knows what buttons to push to just kind of like bring him up, to hurt him, like to crush his dignity or his sense of self-respect. Yeah. She can just cut him off at the knees anytime she wants. So.
But she doesn't do it unless he dishes it out to her.
It's always deserved.
I think it's interesting. Yeah. And I was going to add, too, about her. I think that you see a little bit in this part, and of course it develops over the course of the season and so forth, but I think you start to see a little bit of her disdain for corporations. She does not. She wants to be a big deal and wants to be so corporate, but she really does not like working for a corporation. And I think you sort of start to see this at this part too. Like, I think she's disappointed about the Evan Drake situation, but she also may not have loved having to go to the corporate party.
Yeah. I kind of got that sense too, that she's just kind of like, yeah, no, I definitely, I see that. Yeah. Yeah. So later on the actual Christmas Eve, Fraser still in a bad mood. He's cynical about the holidays and the way Christmas is celebrated. Woody comes in though, and he's a hit. He's like, the children's play was sold out, and the talk of the town. And he brings in the reviews, and Norm reads it for him. It's like, anybody from Mrs. Podesta's class who doesn't see The Story of Snow is a full on goon.
Right, wasn't it like The Story of Snow was way excellent? Like.
Yeah.
It's from the school newspaper. That is great. It's the review.
It's so good. Yeah. He's just like, I'm a hit. So, yeah, so that's when Woody has to call his mom to read her the review over the phone. But, you know, what does he say? If I was home right now, I'd just be listening to my aunt and my uncle argue about who's dead and who's sick and who lost part of their hand in a thresher.
Right.
So, and then as soon as he hears his mom's voice, he starts crying. He's just like, yes. This is so much.
He does that high-pitched cry that Woody does.
He does. Like, he does. I love that so much, yeah. So then we get this stranger walking in carrying an extra-sized Santa costume, and Carla is quick to point out, like, you know, kind of like loser would have to act like, you know, Santa this time of year. And the guy gives the suit to Norm, and he's like, come on, I'm not covering for you anymore.
Yeah. He's like, you're late again or something, because Norm's probably late all the time because he's at Cheers.
Right. You know. And he's like, I think you're looking for the wrong guy. He's like, well, when you find the right guy, tell him to wipe his like wipe the clothes before he puts on his hat or something like that.
Yeah, you have something about the sweat.
Yeah, the sweat.
Oh, yeah.
So, So yeah, without much, you know, fanfare or dignity, just Norm just like takes the suit and he's like, yeah, and he's heading out there to do his job. And he's like, I thought you guys might razz me about being a Santa Claus over at Nagel's. And Carla's like, oh, so that's what my kid meant when she said Santa Claus smells like my where mommy works.
Yes. That's great.
And then later on, the bar is very much dead, except for Al nursing the Wonder Eggs. You got Rebecca is in her office. Woody, Carla, and Sam are at the bar just sitting around, and Al is the one person in the background just nursing a drink. Mm-hmm. And they're like, as soon as he leaves, we can get out of here. Eventually, like, they'll try and, like, shoo him out of there, and they'll try and, like, force him out. And he's like, nah, I'm waiting for some people. And we get this rush of people coming in.
And they don't believe him. Like, Carla's like, yeah, right, yeah, or something like that.
Because it's Al. We've never seen him with anybody like that.
But, right.
But, like, all his whole entire extended family comes in like that.
Uh-huh.
This is actually something that I read just a few days ago on Ken Levine's blog. He was talking about sort of in the production, and he said they usually needed, what was the, I should have written the number, I think he said usually between 30 to 50 background extras, or 30 to 40 background extras to make the bar feel kind of busy. So it wasn't
interesting.
Like that. If there was less than that, it really would look, because of how big it is.
Right.
If it was less than like 30 people or less than 40 people, it would look like they're not doing anything. There's no business. I think he said you could fill it up with like a couple of hundred people to like stack the whole thing. So yeah, certainly at times, at episodes like this, they needed a bunch of those extras.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't read that.
Carla has this great little exchange with Sam. She's like, you know, the kids, she can't wait to get out of there now because the kids are all asleep. The presents are all laid out. She and Eddie can go back home and exchange their goodies in private. And Sam is like, well, you don't wait till the morning to exchange gifts? He's like, sure, yeah, sure we do. But we exchange our goodies in private.
Private, right. I like that Sam had the innocent question, too. She's like, oh, you don't wait? Like, he didn't even think of it in that way until Carla mentioned it, you know.
Right.
Can we say too that Woody has been on the phone this whole time with still talking to his mom?
Yes, still talking to his mom about like the recipe, about her cooking and everything. He's like, well, maybe you can freeze some of it and send it to me. No, not the gravy. Of course, not the gravy. So the three of them exchange their presents, and this is when Sam realizes that he's the only one who didn't get something for Rebecca, and he's like, well, why would you get something for her? You don't even like her. Carla's like, it's a Christmas tradition. It's called kissing up to the moms.
Right.
So then
and
Sam
didn't Woody like, get them something. It was like a silhouette of their faces cut out in black velvet or something like that. It was something very ornate sounding that Woody was going to give all of them.
Yeah, like some ornate, like home, like yeah, that's not a fancy. And then so Sam heads out to the street to find something for that. Frasier and Lilith show up. Lilith is in good spirits. Frasier is still the Scrooge. Cliff comes in fuming mad, and we get a callback to Walt Twitchell, who has been on the show a few times. This is the guy who won the canned food drive, and apparently this is a number of times this has happened. He won the food drive by exactly one can.
Didn't he say it was like a dented can of Spam or something this time?
Yeah.
He knows what it was.
Yeah. And Woody has these extra two cans of like lo mein noodles or something.
Yeah. Right.
And he's like, I forgot to put those in the thing. He's like, were these here earlier when I was doing the drive? He's like, yeah, I just didn't move over there. And Cliff is like, yeah, that means I won by exactly one can. So he thinks he's won the count, and he's running out there to get his reward.
Right.
So he thinks.
Prize. Yeah.
So, and then, we cut to out on the street. We get this exterior shot, and maybe this was like a second unit, like a pickup shot directed by Thomas LaFaro, and that's why he gets the direction credit, because we're outside the bar and Sam is like kind of wandering from store to store looking for something. Of course, all the lights are off or people are like shutting their doors, like he's stopping people like, do you know any stores that are open? They're like shaking their heads like he's kind of like a stranger. Like, wouldn't he have some idea of where to go? Like.
Right. But you do get that sense of, like, somebody that's run out at the last minute on Christmas Eve and, like, the store is shutting one by one and so forth. I think it's well done. And it also, I think you've been to that area in Boston, haven't you?
Yeah.
Around the Cheers bar. Because it looks like some of the shops around that area, I thought.
Yeah, they dress them. Ooh, it does have that kind of old Eastern, type of thing. I can see that, yeah. the last business to like shut their door actually like dumps snow on Sam's head, and that's when he just kind of like falls to his like sits down, kind of despondent, like what am I gonna do, and then we get this girl walking in front of him, just saying like, hey, I can help you or something like that, and mm-hmm. when we see her, she's backlit so that there's sort of like this halo and this angelic figure. I don't know about you, but I've always kind of gotten the impression she was sort of meant to look a little bit like Diane.
I knew you were going to say that. That is what I think. Like a younger, really? Yeah. Wide-eyed Diane. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's like the hair or the color or like the something about her face or her smile. But yeah, whenever I see like that first image of her, that's where my head goes. I'm just like, is he supposed to be seeing Diane?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't take it that he was supposed to be seeing Diane, but I do think that there's a resemblance that's not, I mean, it couldn't be entirely accidental. They had to know what she looked like, you know, dressed that way and backlit and so forth. So I don't know, but that's exactly what I think as well.
Yeah. And Sam asks, he's like, yeah, you must be an angel. Do you have wings under there? And she's like, oh yeah. And she shows like, she's got the stewardess flagman. And she's got extra bags of extra presents that she just went shopping for herself. And mm-hmm. she's like, what does your boss need? And he's like, how about some earmuffs or something? She's like, well, those are way too impersonal. He's like, no, that's even perfect. So, and
he says perfect for her.
Yeah,
so
she's like, oh, your boss is a woman?
She's like, oh.
Yeah, your boss is a woman. He's like, well, so they tell me or something, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
A rumor has it or something.
Right, that's it.
So back in the bar, Norm comes back in dressed as Santa, and they're like, what do you have, Mr. Peterson? He's like, finally, somebody wants to know what I would like for Christmas.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And then all of the other Santas kind of come back, and he's like, just take those seats by the front door, so they're all like this whole little gaggle of them, which is nice. And then that's when Sam and Tracy walk in, and she's like, oh, all these fake Santas, what if a kid were to see this? And he's like, it's right. Almost midnight.
Right. She has that. It's interesting too, because in the last scene, you know, she's going through her lingerie purchases. She's the little thing she bought for herself, you know.
Yeah, the black lace teddy. Yeah.
Right. And then she's like, you can never have too many of those. Like one of the things she mentioned, she talks about like a kimono, all of these things that sound more sultry, but she's just so entirely innocent about it. And then when she shows up at the bar and she is worried the little kid's going to come in at midnight and see all these, you know, beer guzzling Santas. It's just, it's an interesting characterization of her, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because later on, when like Sam is going to blow her off, she's like, does that mean we're not going to have like a Christmas Eve fashion show or something like that?
The lingerie, that was a little. I don't know, because she still sounded kind of innocent about it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. And he's like, it'll have to be something that some other time. She's like, oh, it really did seem more like a Christmassy thing.
But. Right. Well. Yeah.
So then Rebecca got their gifts and everything like that, and, you know, she's just like, you know, it's no big deal and everything. They're like, well, we got gifts for you, too. And she's like, yay! Like,
yeah, she yeah, yeah, them yeah.
This really bright, happy, infectious laugh there. So,
she's so happy to be, like, to belong and be included. I like that a lot.
But clearly not reading the room, because she gives them just the generic like gifts from the corporation. Sam thinks that he is giving her these earmuffs, and he's like, these will keep your ears warm. But when she opens them, she's like, oh my god, these are diamond earrings. And Sam has to like look back, and like Tracy's like, oh, I gave you the wrong thing. So.
Those looks back and forth are really good too. That was nice. Sam and Tracy, yep.
Yeah.
Because she is just, Rebecca is so just taken and overwhelmed at first by this, and then you just see Sam and Tracy looking back and forth, and she's going through her bags and everything. Right. Rebecca doesn't notice because she's just so you know,
and all
surprised.
All of their reactions are then coupled by Carla and Woody, who think like this was a legit gift for their boss, and they're like, "Wait a minute, we got soap." Like, she's like, Sam, what are you doing? Or like, what did Sam get for Woody or something like that?
It was like a wallet or something.
Yeah,
some little thing. Yeah. And Sam is concerned about the cost of the earring, or like that it's the earrings at this point. It's an interesting little play on like a Christmas gift scenario, I think.
Yeah, because he's like, he's asking her, and she's like, they're $500. They were going to be for my mom. So he's trying to figure out a way of getting out of this. And then Rebecca gives him the opening. She comes back, and she's like, you know, I don't think this is appropriate. I have to give these back. And he's like, but he sees how much they mean to her, so he's like, well, I wouldn't have given them to you if I didn't think you really deserved them. And then you can tell that she's kind of touched by them, so she's like, all right, I'll keep them.
Right. But she did. She gave him the opening, and then he just had to put that line in there, play it a little bit further.
Yeah. And it seems possibly to work because she invites him over to her place after work for Christmas dinner. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and she's like, I'll wear my earrings. And then, of course, he puts it in his head and nothing else she'll be wearing. So, he's jumped to that conclusion. But then that's when he has to go break it off with Tracy. But not to be disappointed, she's not going out alone because almost
immediately. But he lies to her, too. He's not honest about the reason. He's like, oh, she's going to make me work, you know. To Tracy, right, when he goes over to tell her about the earrings, which it's really the dinner, I see.
Right. Yeah. He just thinks he's trying out. He thinks Rebecca is the better catch. So, not to worry about her because her feelings, because she's happy to go back home to her mom, who's just getting all of the stuff ready and just finishing up her stuffing. And Woody hears that, he's like, "Oh, your mommy makes stuffing too?" And they're like, "Yeah." And they start comparing it. It's like, "Is your mom make it bone dry?" And it's like, "Yeah, you can gag on it."
That's what she says.
Funny line. And then they start talking about the wise man, and Sam is like, "I would introduce you to, but it sounds like you've known each other for a while, so they're in good company."
Mm-hmm. I really like that. I like that they're alike in kind, and Sam recognizes that, and they're just kind of like together talking for the rest of the episode from that point on.
Yeah, isn't it? And there's no kind of like jealousy either. Like,
no.
Like Sam doesn't get upset. Like he's like, "Hey, I brought her in here, or she might go home with Woody. Like, what's going on?" Like he's just completely moved on. Yeah,
she kind of belongs there. The thing to, I think I wanted to mention at the end, but I liked her as a character in that scenario with Woody.
Yeah.
And then I also, sorry.
I was, well, again, like kind of feeling at home, like there's a, mm-hmm, she has right. Like, this presence where, yeah.
Right. I was going to say that I noticed as well in the background, Rebecca is admiring her earrings in the mirror, which is probably Sam's mirror, I would assume.
Yeah.
But I like that they have that part of the story continuing sort of out of focus in the background, even as they have the other story going on in the foreground. I love when they do that.
Yes. Yeah. That's good. Frasier comments on the sight of a dozen drunk Santas arguing about designated drivers.
Mm-hmm.
One Santa Claus just doesn't seem to match the other's costumes and kind of like seems a little bit more authentic. And he says he's got to be going. So having
that everybody... voice too, that like older, old fashioned sounding voice, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a grizzled day laborer who's forced to wear this up. And he takes off, and the other's like, "I don't recognize him. Did he come in with you?" "No, he must come in with you." And Frasier just has this moment where he stops and thinks, and then is it, could it be? Could that really be? And they're like, "Listen, do you hear something up on the roof?"
Mm-hmm.
And the guy comes back, and he's like, "Come on,
Norm,
what are you guys
on?" It sounds like sleigh bells.
Yeah.
Like, that's the moment, because Norm has that little gleam in his eye at that point, too. So it's almost like he and Frasier both are kind of believing this might be the real deal. I really like that moment. Yeah.
But then the guy comes in and he needs his car. He needs somebody to jumpstart his car because he left the lights on. So they're like, "Okay, forget about that." So Norm and Frasier were caught up in the spirit for a moment, and that's all it was just that moment. But that was enough for Frasier to kind of relive and feel the magic of the moment. So what does Frasier do? He rushes over to the piano and starts singing Christmas carols, which is what you want Kelsey Grammer to do
in an
episode like this.
Of course. And he does say in there like he believed in Christmas for the first time since he was born or something like that.
Yeah.
And then runs to the piano.
And then while everybody is gathered around singing songs, that's when Carla drops the bomb on Santa or on Sam that he is not going to be the only one going to Rebecca's house afterwards, that she invited the whole gang.
Mm-hmm.
So be a little bit disappointed, but, that's when Woody tells them to turn on
the... She skips off to the piano. And
she's like, that's worth the crummy Christmas gift, yeah.
Yeah. I have a question that kind of came up for me watching it this time a little earlier. Because it seems to me when Sam... At the first moment when Sam is upset that he didn't get Rebecca a present, for a split second, he really is just worried that he did not get her a present. And then Carla is the one that says, like, "Oh, well, just because everyone else did," and she's naming, like, the beer distributor and, a relief bartender, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
And Sam's like, "Oh, they just wanted to get her in bed." And it's, like, her that's almost shaking him, like, "This is what you want." But I don't know that it occurred to him until Carla kind of pushed him back in that direction. And I wonder, like, it's, like, so that's obviously a part of his motivation from that point on. But I don't know that it started that way.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, that's probably right. But even still, I mean, I think when he was when he was coming in, I mean, I think he had pretty much set him on, like, he was probably going to go home with a stewardess until the confusion with the gifts.
Okay.
So once that idea is in his head, he can't shake it.
Yeah. It's just his mixed motivations towards her, I think, are interesting. Anyway, I just thought about that. And like the supper, of course, part, you know, he's part of it. She invited him. She's happy to have him, but he's certainly not going to be the only one there.
Right. Well, you know, just like, you know, when he goes to paint her apartment, you know, he has to take it too far. But.
Right, exactly. And she was happy in that one, as I recall, to like have a conversation with him and be friends. But then he had to, you know.
And she's like, I'm going to go in the other room and change. And he assumes she's getting into something sexy. And it's like, no, she's changing into her gym clothes because she's going to leave. Like,
yeah, but she's like, help yourself to like whatever it was. And it's sort of similar here, except that he's the one on the... on the end of the receiving end, I guess, of the disappointment.
Yeah. And then they turn on the TV to watch the end of It's a Wonderful Life with Auld Lang Syne again. But as they do, we get a cut away to a news broadcast. And I love that they actually use the same actress for the news anchor. It's from earlier this season when they did the Eye on Sports episode.
Yes.
It's the same one. Catherine McNeil plays the newscaster. And she comes back and she's like reporting that there is a deranged postal carrier chasing down an Orlando bound flight on the runway, throwing cans of Chinese food at the plane. And they're just like shaking their heads. And you know, some of the people are like, what is this? And
Norm's like Cliffy, oh, Cliffy, Cliff, Cliff.
But yeah, the final shot is they're all kind of gathered around and Cliffy isn't there, but we now know where Cliffy is and Woody's got a girl, Sam and Rebecca are kind of together, Frasier and Lilith are together, Carla's sitting next to Norm, and there's the feeling of camaraderie and as the music is playing. It is a nice, warm, spirited finale for this season. It's good.
And I like that it ends with Woody saying, God bless us, everyone.
Yeah, it's really, a nice touch.
That works very well, I think.
It's really sweet,
I guess I would say, I just like that everybody's story, like they're, again, grumpy at the beginning, but it all comes full circle. Like they all have some little Christmas happening that's just like a deposit, like an uplift in the story.
Yeah.
Except for Cliff. I mean, he's kind of going after his Christmas dream. But everybody except for him. And I like that they, you know, because like I said, in terms of like how much I love this episode, it has that warmth without being super sentimental. And then they just poke it with humor at the end with a bit about Cliff coming up in the middle of them watching the movie. And I just think it's just right the way that they did that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. The only other note that I had, because this was based on some of the comments that I've gotten the last few episodes, Norm's hair is finally back under control.
Oh, like, that's a good point.
The few episodes just before this, it was going nuts how like big and how crazy his hair was getting. So his hair is finally back to normal. That's good.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, I think you're right. I like Tracy as the outsider character brought in. And I think it's interesting that it's kind of when she comes into the bar that all of their stories start to turn in a positive direction.
And, I mean, if she is a surrogate angel, then, that thematically, that kind of works.
Yeah.
Yeah, then she is sort of the spirit of Christmas that kind of changes everything for the bar. Yeah. And gives more characters their happy endings that they wanted. So, very cool. For Norm's tab, he had 4 beers this episode. Which brings him up to 527 for the series.
I mean, I know we're like at a point where that's not, I mean, it's kind of unreasonable, but it's not that unreasonable. It's just such a large number to hear.
Yeah. It's,
every time it's like, all right. Yeah.
I'm crossing my fingers. We hit quadruple digits by the end of the show, but we'll see. We'll see. Who is your employee of the week?
Oh gosh, everybody has just such a good part in the story and it's well balanced, but I'm going to have to give it to Woody, I think, because he starts just with the teaser and the finale part, how well that comes around and his role in that sort of setting the tone of that part of it. And he is really, aside from being, you know, he's sad about after he talks to his mom about not being at home and so forth. But other than that, he's kind of the one that has the Christmas spirit at the beginning. And it reminds me of how he behaved in Thanksgiving Orphans when he kept saying, like, he's like, this is going to be the greatest. Like, he's the one that's happy yes. about being with all of them on the holiday, you know. So that kind of seems similar to him in this one.
I agree.
Yeah, it just kind of stands out to me as the one.
Yeah, I thought about Sam. I thought about Norm, but I think mm-hmm. just like Woody just
really
overwhelmed me. It was funny and it was sweet and
right.
earnest. Yeah, it was a good one. Norm does get my home run, though. My favorite line is when he comes back dressed as Santa Claus and he's had the long day before his company like comes in with him, and he takes off the beard and he takes off the hat and he just throws it on the bar, and he's like, I am so happy this holiday season is over with the whining, the crying, the screaming, the temper tantrums. Okay, I wasn't your traditional Santa Claus.
Yeah. And he kind of like throws something on the bar as he's saying too.
Yeah. Well, that part is.
Yeah. So mine is when Norm is found out as the Santa and he's leaving to go, you know, with a suit to go off to the job. And he says, thought you guys just, this is not the line, but the way he sets it up with like, I thought you guys just might razz me a bit about being a Santa Claus over at Nagel's. And Carla says, like, that's what my kid meant when she said that Santa smells like the place where mommy works.
Yeah.
I love that, and I could see her hearing that from one of her children.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
All righty, Marlene. Well, thank you again for being on this episode and helping me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The milestone halfway point of CheersCast, which I'm so excited to announce.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be a part of it, too. Thank you for letting me do this episode.
Thank you. Thank you. And where else can people, if people want to hear you talk about Cheers even more,
right,
where can they find
right.
you?
Which is why I'm doing it. So hear a junior Cheers podcast, it is called Norm, with an exclamation point, a Cheers podcast. And it is a friend of mine that has never seen Cheers and me, just the two of us are doing it. So it's not a different guest or anything like that. But he's sort of experiencing it for the first time and discussing it with me and going through the series.
Very cool. Very cool. One quick little announcement before I wrap this up, everybody. As this is the halfway point of the season, there's not going to be a new episode next week. I'm going to take a week off. Then the weekend after that, I will have some listener feedback for the first half of the season. Then another week off. And then brand new episodes will be in about 3 or 4 weeks after that. So if you can tell by my voice, I need to take some time off. All right. Thank you again for being on this episode. And thanks to all of you out there who listen to CheersCast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. This show is patronized by the Right On Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FW podcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening. And until next time, we're closed.
I am so happy this holiday season is over with. The whining, the crying, the screaming, the temper tantrums. Okay, I wasn't your traditional Santa Claus.